receive this word of encouragement and exhortation and comfort today, this prophetic word, Lord. We receive it now. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, as the boys and girls, as our students go to their kids' church, that you would anoint their teachers and, Lord, pour out your spirit upon them. And as Chuck now comes, Lord, our hearts are ready to receive all that you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Boys and girls, you can make your way to your Sunday school class, your release to go. What Holy Spirit is going to do. We plan, and as we prepare, we always prepare cautiously and write our agenda in pencil, because we always want to be ready for when Holy Spirit has a word. And I believe that he has spoken to us this morning through the spiritual gifts of tongues and interpretation, a prophetic word. And may it be received today in Jesus' name. I just also want to remind all of the men, next Saturday is our fall breakfast, and you are all invited to come. And if you have not already done so, you can sign the list that's in the foyer by the offering box, and you can. We would love to see you there. And it would be great to fill out that entire whole fellowship room downstairs, the family center, and we're looking forward to having you there with. And the first night of our three-session series and our fall session of Days of Refreshing. And what an introduction we had. And so I welcome to you the illustrious.
Yeah, right.
The one
yeah.
and only. The giant of a man.
Yeah, okay, knock it off.
Chuck, God bless you.
I got
you.
One.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Bubba. I got all sorts of names because I can't remember my own. Hallelujah. Good morning, church. That was good. That was good. I just feel refreshed. Thank you. Because some churches, I'm in a service every week of my life somewhere in the world, but sometimes when they introduce me, I just want to leave. It's so dead that the devil don't even know they're a church. So it's just good worship. Praise hallelujah. For the busy Christians, praise the Lord and hallelujah. All squashed. So, amen, amen. We had a good night last night, but I expect that. I wouldn't really come if I didn't expect God was going to show up. And he's going to show up this morning. He already has. Hallelujah. Sundays are busy in heaven. There's a lot of folks doing what we're doing this morning somewhere. Maybe the time changed, but you know, heaven's busy Sunday mornings. And so it's nice that through the busyness of heaven that God showed up in Sydney. And that's pretty cool. He doesn't have to do that, although he's omnipresent. He's got no choice. But we need more than just his general presence. We need the Shekinah glory of his presence. Hallelujah. Praise God. So thank you for your worship. It inspires me. It's good. It's not always like that Sunday mornings. Believe me. So I've been to the church of the frozen chosen. Right? So it's amen. It's okay to laugh. The Bible says it's free medicine. So we can afford this one. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you this morning from the word from Acts chapter 1, please. Acts chapter 1. And a very familiar passage of scripture, if you'd allow me to read to you for just a moment. Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. I like that. He spoke about the kingdom of God. Church, I think that's important, that he didn't speak about the church. He didn't speak of the kingdom of God doesn't have a local address. I'm going to try it over here. I'll be back in a minute. Okay, so the kingdom of God doesn't have a local address, right? You're a portable church. You're a portable conviction unit. You know, I pastored for 24 years. I understand location, but that's not who we are. So the kingdom of God is about people. So Jesus didn't talk about, he did say in the book of Matthew, I will build my church. He doesn't really need your help. I'm not done yet, relax, right? There's a pause there to get your wheels turning. But Jesus said, I'll build my church. He said, to you, I give you the keys to the kingdom. The kingdom. So if you take care of the kingdom, God will take care of the church. If you take care of your city, your region, right, to the uttermost parts of the world, then God says, I'll take care of the church. And so I understand we want people to come to the church, but again, we need to realize it's not just a building, we are the church. You're a portable conviction unit for Jesus Christ. I didn't say a porta potty. I said you're a portable conviction unit for Jesus Christ. I think that's important. You understand that. You know, you're the church on feet. You're the church on wheels. And so I say thank God for that. Praise the Lord. It's all right. It's all good. So I think that's pretty cool that Jesus knew he had X number of days before he ascended, and he decided to talk about the kingdom. He decided to talk about the big picture, not the little picture. And so I think that's important that we understand that. So I ask the question before I move on, how big is your God? How big is your God? Is he just about a denomination? Is he just about a location? Or is he about everyone and everything? Hallelujah. In every place. The Word of God says on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. He gave them this command. He gave them this command. Did you hear me? He gave a command, a command, a command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. I've been talking about this to you. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when you meet together, when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom in Israel? They still weren't getting it. He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power after the Holy Ghost comes to you, on you, and you will be witnesses, first of all, in Sydney, in Jerusalem, in Judea, and then Judea, the surrounding area, the region, and then it gets bigger, and then Samaria, that one's tougher, and then to the uttermost parts of the world. That's why it's important that Christians have passports. Just in case God calls you next week, you want to come to Cuba with me sometime, that would be swell. That would be brilliant. I would appreciate that. I know Pastor wants me to say a few things about Cuba, so allow me, please. I travel to 60 different countries, but Cuba is my place of choice. You don't hear much about Cuba, I think because of the embargoes and there's a lot of blackouts there. Cuba has been in darkness, the whole island, for the last couple of days. They just got power back in some of the regions in Havana. 600,000 people have left Havana in the last 5 years. You can't make a living. The average wage is about $20 U.S. a month. So mom, try to raise your family on that. Then there's the black market, which we never say the word, but we wave our hand. The left hand is the black market. So you'll buy that package of hot dogs for $9 instead of $3. But since you're only making about $20 a month, you know, it's hard, it's tough. So the Cubans wouldn't want me just to paint this terrible picture, because God's moving. God's up to something. I work with the Assemblies of God of Cuba, because I hold credentials with the Pentecostals of Canada, and I understand their doctrine. So I don't have to cross lines where I'm stepping on feet. I don't want to be offensive. But I understand the Pentecostal doctrine, how they operate. They have a general superintendent and assistant, much like the structure that we have, the presbyters, executive members. And so I understand that and I get that. So we've been buying houses since 2013, and then we flipped them into house churches. So we bought 42 houses that are worshiping God this morning as we're worshiping God this morning. Hallelujah. And so they live there, but then we hollowed anything that's not load-bearing. Most times, there was a time where the roof fell in, but it's all right, so no one was hurt. And then we create a sanctuary, and so they have church there. I can't preach like this outdoors in some of the countries I go to, like India, where we have larger crusades, but I can't do that. I could once, but then I go to jail, and the food is really bad. And the beds are really uncomfortable, and I'm too old to be messing with that stuff. So I just do what I can do. So I get houses. We put a pastor there through the Assemblies. They now have a roof over their head because they never afford to buy a home. And then we have church. Hallelujah. And so today, people are coming to Jesus Christ in those 42 homes that are represented under the umbrella of the Assemblies of God of Cuba for the reasons I told you. We buy fishing boats because I like fish. I got some maritime blood in me. So I got, my father was born in the Miramichi there, boy. And so my mother was born in Ireland. And so I like fish. That's not the reason, though, because I want to create income. I want to create income. That's hard. BC understands entrepreneurialism. You understand that. When I say that word, you can have a job and have a shtick on the side and make some extra dollars. We get that. In Cuba, when you're rationed and that's all you know, you get so many beans and rice per month and that's it, then it's hard for them to get it in their mind. So we have a pig farm, we have a banana plantation, we have 15 sewing centers and a laundromat, and we have got a hair salon, and we got all that neat stuff. And so 30% of the income goes to the person in charge, 30% goes to product to kind of maintain the boat and hair product. Then the other 40% goes to ministry. And so the 40% goes to ministry for children's ministry, young adult ministry, women's ministries, evangelism. And so that's continuing to feed the program. So I don't have to be in the country today, but they'll be able to take it up offerings. The boat is making money. You know, it's an island with a lot of fish. Right? And so they're making money, the hair salon, the laundromats, all that neat stuff. They're generating income that they never had before. They get a salary above their ration, and then 40% of all the income goes to ministry. And so, you know, if you're going to choose to give, then God bless you. I appreciate that. But I want you to know what we're doing. And then when I'm not there, I just travel. I just travel like this and go back to the mainland for a few days, come back up to Port Hardy next week, and then I'm off to Bathurst, New Brunswick, and then I'm off to PEI. So we're doing the north to the west to the east, and I'm going to fire my travel agent. So that would be me. So that's what we do. We preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We hold two-day leadership conferences in Cuba. We've trained, I guess, thousands of pastors over the years and leaders, and just continue to do what we're going to do. And by the way, we're going to keep doing it. Hallelujah. I had the conversation, the retirement talk with my wife. She laughed at me, so I got to keep traveling. Hallelujah. So we're just going to keep messing up the devil's plans and keep going forward. I want to talk to you this morning for a couple of hours, minutes. Just checking my audience. Okay, not everybody laughed. Get over yourself. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you this morning about power up, power up, power up, power up in the Holy Ghost. It was 2 years ago last May, we had our general conference in Niagara Falls. Beautiful place. You ever been? It's a neat place to go. It's gorgeous. It really is. It's very romantic. Well, I'm usually by myself, but I love to stand there at night and watch the lights and the water, and it's pretty cool. I like it. So we were there a couple of years ago last May, had our conference, thousands of people came, and I'm not really sure we understood the spiritual significance of being there. I think that God took us there for a reason, because we had one of the greatest wonders of the world right there in Niagara Falls. Of course, the Canadian side is much prettier than the American side. Yeah. My wife's an American. We've had this argument for many years, so back and forth, but I win. Hallelujah. So I just text her so she can't argue with me. Hallelujah. So it's all good. I don't think we fully understand the beauty, the wonder of the falls, the roar, the mist, the rainbow, the power. You know, millions and millions of tourists come every year, and they stand there and admire it, and they take their pictures, and what an experience. They want to experience Niagara Falls. It's pretty cool. It really is. Church, it's one thing to visit the falls. It's another thing to live there. There's a city there. There's actually people that dwell there, and not just tourists, but they actually live there. And they probably take for granted the Niagara Falls part, but you know what? The Niagara Falls, it produces a fair bit of electricity. You know, there are generators along the shoreline of both banks, and they produce a lot of energy into Ontario and New York State. In fact, one quarter of all the energy that comes into that end of the country and also across the border, it comes from what you see along the banks of the Niagara River. So much of that comes from that area, and I say thank God. I want you to understand this morning, church, that much like Niagara Falls, the Spirit baptism is wonderful and amazing and powerful, and it energizes both sides of the border. He energizes both sides of the border. Unfortunately, today, church, we have more tourists in the New Testament church than we have residents. Thank you very much. Right. Let me say it again just to irritate one or two people. Right. Unfortunately, today, in the New Testament church, we have more tourists than we have residents that want to live in the power and the presence and the purposes of Holy Spirit. And I thank God, would you help us? Denomination that I mentioned that I hold credentials with, you know, we've spent a lot of time together, and I'm fine with that. Held credentials with them for 45 years. My father was a minister. My mother was a minister. My sisters married ministers. If you shake the family price tree, a bunch of ministers fall out on their behind. There's a whole whack of us out there. I wanted to break the curse and went into social work, but God has a sense of humor. And so here we are today. So I'm fine with that. I am struggling, though, church, because we've turned 100 years old. You know, a couple of years ago, we're now over 100 years old as a movement. 100 years old as a movement. And one of our great statements, one of our articles is about the initial evidence of speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues every day of my life. I don't have a problem with it. It's not an issue. Just speaking in tongues, it just rolls out of me in my prayer time. I have a problem with initial. I have a problem with initial, and I believe in the initial evidence. I'm fine with that. But church, at some point when you're 100 plus years old, you got to stop talking about initial and start talking about the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I gave a little illustration last night of how my wife and I met and how I met her in a prayer meeting. What a spiritual giant I was at 19. Hallelujah, right? So guys, if you're single, I'll tell you, you can meet women at prayer meetings. Hallelujah. That's a good place to meet them. So I'm in the prayer meeting. She walked in. I looked up, said, wow, she's hot. I married her 4 months later. Hallelujah. So love is blind. If she got to know me, I didn't stand a chance, Bubba. And so I just flew in under the radar in 47 years last week. Glory to God. And I don't see her often, but I like her. Hallelujah. And so it's all good. It's all good. We don't have a lot of time to fight when we're together. And so I celebrate that. But it wasn't the initial look from that Tuesday morning that's kept us 47 years. It's the fullness of the relationship. It's the fullness of the relationship. And so I lived through the charismatic movement. My father pastored a church in downtown Toronto, just 2 blocks from Yonge and Dundas Street, called Evangel Temple. And it was charismatic way before we even knew the word. So Wednesday night Bible study was 1,500. Sunday morning was 1,800. Sunday night was 2,200. For those who have come into Pentecost later, our big services used to be Sunday night. That was our big service because people would go to their services Sunday morning. The Salvation Army would go, the Baptists, the Methodists, and then they'd all pile in Sunday night. And we'd worship, and it was awesome. It was great. I wasn't serving the Lord, but I liked a little girl that used to sit at the front. And if I sat in the balcony right over there, I could see her over here. So it's amazing what God will use to get you to church. Hallelujah. So I was like 14, 15, 16, and I watched. I mean, we had church for months at a time other than Saturday night, which was shower night. And so I saw God move. I saw people delivered. St. Mike's was 3 blocks away, the hospital. They would bring people in ambulances, but ambulances weren't needed to take them home because they walked over and discharged. So I've seen that. I've been ruined by the Holy Spirit. Church, if you've never seen the supernatural, you're really missing out on what God can do. Right? It's only supernatural to you. It's very natural to Him. Oh, thank you very much. Right? It's very natural to Him. It's supernatural to me. We go, man, that was supernatural. God's going, no, that's just who I am. That's just who I am. That's pretty cool, God. Hallelujah. I love that. I just wanted to speak into your heart. So I'm okay with initial, but we got to move into fullness. Your language has to move into a life. Like, you can have the lingo, but you've got to have the logos. Like, if you hang around long enough, you can talk like a Christian. You know, you can talk like an evangelical Christian, like maybe a Pentecostal Christian. But that's not the answer. We need the logos of God down deep in our heart. We need the word of God that burns like a fire inside of our hearts that keeps us. And I understand that, and so do you. Speaking in tongues is not an end result. It's not an end result. It's like, what, did you get it? The charismatic movement, that was the big phrase. Did you get it? Did you get it? I think God was like, I'm not in it. Like he kind of winked at our Catholic brothers and sisters that came in by the thousands, by the way. Thousands through the charismatic movement. And I think he just winked for a moment and go, I'm not in it, but I understand what you're talking. But that was the big, did you get it? Did you get it? Did you get it? You know, did you speak in tongues? Did you get it? You know, and that was the phrase for the years of that charismatic movement. But you know and I know, you know, Holy Spirit baptism is a gateway. Holy Spirit is a necessity, not a luxury. The hardest thing to do is to live for Jesus Christ without the help of the Holy Spirit. That's hard. That's hard to be a Christian today, especially in today's climate, today's society. Right? It's hard to be a Christian. You need the help of the Holy Spirit. Like you need the help. You need God to just step in and baptize you afresh. And I say, thank God. Like the Great Commission, there's a command that's here. In verse 4, he gave them this command. I don't want you to leave Jerusalem. I don't want you to leave. I don't want you to go. I don't want you to go. But I want you to stay to receive the promise that was given to us by my Father. That's pretty significant. His father being God. That's pretty significant. I don't want you to leave until you receive something that God has for us today. And church, I don't want you to go home either the same way you came in. I want you to understand and know the promise of the Father and walk out of here with a greater measure of love for what God is doing in Canada. And I say, thank God. You know, church, you can know what he can do, but that doesn't mean you know him. Talked about it last night on who is the Holy Spirit. You can enjoy an athlete, you can enjoy his or her talents, but you don't know that athlete. They could be a scoundrel. They could make $20 million a year kicking a soccer ball, but their personal life is an absolute mess. It's an absolute mess. And so we appreciate their skill, but that's all it is. It's a skill. It's been groomed and growing. But church, that's not character. You want to know the difference? Here's a tree, here's the ground. My reputation is what's hanging on the branches. Everybody's, man, Chuck, man, way to go, way to go, way to go. You know what? And they give you comment on your reputation. What they don't see is the root system, which, by the way, is your character. They don't see your root system. They see that you're a good salesperson. You're a great athlete. You're an academic. They see that. They see that you love the Toronto Maple Leafs. Yeah. I heard a voice. What is that? I just heard a voice. I didn't see lips move, but I heard a voice. So, you know why I'm a Toronto Maple Leaf fan? Because I have a short attention span, and they're done by April. That's bottom line there, Skipper. All right, so understand that. I just need you to understand today and get something deeper in your heart than where we're at today. You know, you can speak in tongues and not know the Holy Spirit. Straight up. I can back it up with Scripture. You can speak in tongues. The gift of the Holy Spirit, the Acts chapter 2, it's a gift of Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit comes upon you. He borrows your vocal cords. He enables you. He doesn't force you. And it's like water. Holy Spirit flows down and then begins to bubble up and looks for an opening. Nothing to do with me, Skipper. Nothing to do with me. The only prerequisite is to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have it all together. You don't have to know the four spiritual laws. You don't have to know the tenets of faith. All you need to do is be open, get saved, and then you can be baptized in the Holy Ghost. The Word of God makes that very clear. I'm in Chennai, India. The general superintendent of that area for Assemblies of God pastors a church of 55,000. He invites me to the first service, and I said, okay, because the sanctuary doesn't sit 55,000. So I said, Pastor, what's your first service? He goes, well, we usually start around 4, but you can come at 6 a.m. A.M. I didn't roll into bed till 2 o'clock Sunday morning from Saturday night service, right, and travel and time and the time around the altar. I was exhausted. He took me down a dark alley. We walked into the sanctuary. There was 4,500 people on their hands and knees calling on God. You know what I was saying to myself? Chucky boy, you need to wake up real fast because these folks are miles ahead of you. They're miles ahead of you in their worship and their praise. I got up to preach. He took his shoes off as he translated me. I said, sir, do you want me to take my shoes off? Because we're on holy ground. He says, no, Chuck, you're a foreigner. You're okay. I preached a message. I don't know how many people came forward to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And then he took the service from me. He said, listen, now that you're saved, you see that door over there? There's 25 to 30 people in there that want to pray for you because Jesus Christ has something else for you. So here you are, saved and spirit baptized by 7 a.m. on a Sunday morning. You haven't even had breakfast yet. And God does a work in your heart and your life. Come on, church. We've complicated here in Canada. There's other places that are moving faster and quicker than what God wants. I appreciate everything that God has for me, but I want you to understand. You know, I get gifts from people every month. I don't know who they are. I couldn't put a name and a face together. They send me a gift. I cash it, and I spend it somewhere in ministry. I appreciate the gift, but I don't know the giver. It's a gift. It's a gift. Same thing with God blesses you. I just really believe as I travel that I have a mandate for people to know who the Holy Spirit is. Because if you know him, you'll like what he has to offer. You'll want everything. You will want everything that he has to offer you. And it won't be such a task in your heart and your life. So I appreciate it all. I really do. Church, there's a disconnect right now in North America between Acts 1:8 and Acts chapter 2. Inspired speech, inspired living. We've lost something or somebody over the years, and we've tried to replace the void with human abilities. Human abilities. I love worship, but we got people today that worship, but don't know Jesus. They worship, but they don't know Jesus. I'm all for comfortable seats and air conditioning and coffee bars. I love a cup of coffee too, but not one of those things can save a soul. Without the presence of the Holy Spirit that we felt here this morning, we're wasted. We're blowing smoke. We're going through religious gymnastics. We're going through religious gymnastics. We're up, down, we're all down. Oh, glory to God, hallelujah. And then we sit down. A few announcements, the preacher gets up, works up a sweat, and we go home. There's got to be something more, church. And you and I both know there is. There is, there is. When God shows up in the house, even on a busy Sunday morning in heaven, then we're going to flow with him and move with him, and we're going to be inspired to be more like him. We've lost something over the years, and we've tried to place it with human stuff. Your abilities, I'm glad you groomed them and growing them, but your human abilities can't save anybody. Your bucks, your bronze, your beauty, your cash, your calm, your cool, they can't save anybody. It's got to be Jesus Christ. I work in a field where I can't produce results. And it bothers me. It bothers me. It bothers me. Because I can't save anybody. I can't heal anybody. I can't baptize anybody. But at least I can pray for somebody. That's the minimum I can do, is pray for someone. But it bothers me. If you're in sales and the shelves are empty, you phone the company and they bring more stuff for your shelves. If God doesn't show up, I can't do anything. I can't save one person. If I could, I'd save everybody. Work in a ministry, work in a field, in a harvest field where the Lord of the harvest is above and beyond and wants to do what he wants to do, but we need to work with him. The raw numbers don't back up our profession of practice. We're, you know, in church, we don't have another 100 years to focus on language without power and without presence. We don't have that. And so it's not just about initial. We got to skip into that area of fullness, but you will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes on you. Jesus was pretty certain when he said that. He used the word will. You will receive power. He didn't say, well, maybe 2 out of 3. Holy Spirit didn't come down that day in the upper room and look around with cloven tongues and go, Peter, no. Okay, Andrew, you're a little bit introvert. Okay, Matthew, you still got your tax charge. He didn't do that. There was 120 people in the upper room. The Holy Spirit came down as cloven tongues, and they all began to speak in tongues. With all their idiosyncrasies, with all their sin habits, with all their habitual habits, with all their lying, with all their cheating, with all the junk that taken place the weeks before, with all their insecurities, with all their fear and anxiety, Holy Spirit came down, bam! 120 people. 120 people received. Hallelujah. You are not the one that God can't use. You are not the one the Holy Spirit can't fill. You are not that person. You are not that person. I declare and speak it into your life today. Without the energy and power of Holy Spirit, we're just not going to do it. We're just not going to do well serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Get it into your heart this morning. But you shall receive power. What kind of power? To get a greater job, a greater position, a greater title, a greater paycheck? Is that what he's saying, a larger income? No. Without the energy of Holy Spirit, we can't do what God wants us to do. You cannot be a witness without the Holy Spirit. You cannot do it. Your mouth can move. You can be brass and cymbal. You can do all that stuff, but you got to have the touch of the Holy Spirit. I can't convict anybody. I can tell you a cute little story, and you can laugh or cry. That's as far as I can go. It's got to be the Holy Spirit that convicts your heart, that speaks into your life, that wants to bring change. Conviction has to bring change, or we're wasting conviction. Like, how many years can we be convicted? And after a while, you build up a hardness. You build up an immunity. It's like when I was 16, I made myself a promise there were certain drugs I wouldn't touch. I'll never touch this one. I'll never touch this one. You know, and I know, by the time I was 18, everything I said I wouldn't touch, I had done. I had done. Why? Because my heart got hard. And that's what happens when conviction comes. You build up an immunity by saying, no, 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 not today, next week, next year. And that year never comes. I don't know how many people I've buried that said to me, Chuck, maybe tomorrow, maybe when the kids get older, maybe when I retire, and that day never came. The light went out, they went into eternity without the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Father, would you help us and speak into our hearts? There are two Greek words that in the English translate our word power. Power, exousia, is one of them. It means an exertion, not simply strength, but authority. Not simply strength, but authority. And I think you need to understand that. Power that is given to somebody by somebody else. So you have a power today that's not yours, but was given to you by somebody else. You have a power within you. You could be 92 pounds, soaking wet, and you're the guy at the beach that people kick sand on. You can be that guy, right? But with the power of the Holy Spirit can make the difference. It's not stature. It's not body size. It's not intellect. It's the presence, the purpose, and the power of the Holy Spirit that makes the difference. On a day by day, and I say, thank God, power that is given to someone by authority. Power and authority to be, not to do ministry. I don't do ministry. I don't do ministry. You know what I found? Ministry was doing me. It was doing me. I didn't know how to say no. I was out. I'm amazed that my kids talked to me today. I mean, I was a workaholic in ministry. Thank God today and all my kids went to ministry. But, you know, I want you to understand that if you're a driving force, it doesn't work well that way. And so God wants you to be. Being busy in ministry doesn't make you super spiritual. It makes you tired. And when you're tired, the devil hunts well. You've seen those National Geographics? How the lion will go for 5 seconds and find the one and then let it go because he's targeted the one that can't keep up with the pack. Church, let's not play this morning. The devil's real. He's not in the country today, but he's real. Okay, don't get me going on this one again this morning. The devil's not omnipresent. If he's in Syria today, he cannot be in British Columbia. He's nothing more than a fallen angel. We serve the Creator. He's created. He's not all-powerful. He's not all-knowing. That's why he brings up your past, because he doesn't know your future. Come on, Skipper. Come on, dance with me. I'm telling you, that's the way it works. Get it in your heart. Get it in your head. The Holy Spirit brings it alive inside of you. We have an authority today. And I got to tell you, ma'am, one of the things the devil has tried to take away from us in Canada is our authority. Authority. Sometimes we feel in the church we have no authority, we have no voice. You do have a voice. You do have a voice, and your voice matters. And I say, thank God. Acts 1:7, his own voice, his own authority, his own authority. Matthew 28:18, the Great Commission, all authority is given. I have it. Jesus says, I have it. And since he's in you, he says, you go. 2/3 of the word God. Go. Get her done while it's still daytime. And he just puts it out there. Authority includes name and nature. If you don't have the nature of God, please don't use his name. You're going to get beat up. Remember those 7 sons of Sceva when the disciples tried to cast demons out of them? The disciples became the first streakers in the New Testament. Now you're interested to read that chapter, aren't you? By the time the demons finished with them, they were buck naked running down the road. That's a great witness. Just a great witness for the kingdom of God. Great witness, sir. Great witness, all beat up, bruised, and run down the road naked. Listen, we have an authority in the name of Jesus Christ. My grandma Price, she lived in Campbellton, New Brunswick. She weighed 100 pounds, maybe 5'2" and nothing. But man, when she got a hold of God, she got a hold of God. She wore those big old platform shoes. Remember those black platform shoes grandma used to wear? You couldn't fall over if you wanted to. The heels were like this big. And this 5 o'clock every morning. Down to her prayer closet, little prayer closet. That woman had authority. She didn't have stature, she didn't have education, but she knew God. She knew God. She fought for her 6 children, my father and others, and she fought for them. And I say, thank the Lord. Church, there's a power there that the devil's tried to take away from us. The second word is dunamis. It means dynamite, not to blow up things, but to strengthen it, the ability to equip and to enable gifts and fruits, the walk turning to talk, turning to walk. So Jesus wants us to have his strength and his ability to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I say, thank God. Church, we have been called to live for Jesus in our own power? No. We have to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the indwelling person, passion, and presence of Holy Spirit. Dunamis power is transforming power. It's not to blow up stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. It's power to be what God wants you to be, an authority. Again, the two things the devil is trying to take away from us in North America is authority and identity. I'll nod for you. Authority and identity. We got people today that don't know who they are. They don't know who they are. I get it. I understand that. We live in a crazy society. And so we can yell and scream and tell them that's wrong, or we can love on them and pray for them and encourage them and just see what God wants to do in their lives. One of the things I enjoyed about Charlie, and he was an evangelist. One of the things I enjoyed about Charlie Kirk was that he would just take his faith and walk out into the enemy's camp and just be very kind, very direct. No, I don't have a college education. No, I don't have a university agenda. And then he'd go to Cambridge. And he'd talk to students there. Only God could do that. Only God could do that, my friend. Again, get all the education you can get. Education can make you smart. It can't make you spiritual. I'll nod for you. You're tiring out on me. We've been called to live for Jesus. Acts 1:8. It's different from what happened at Salvation Church. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in. Do we have to have that conversation again? Are we triune people? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? If you're Jesus only, God bless you. I thank God for all three. And you should too, sir, because you kept all three of them busy for how many years before you bent your knee? They protected you. They watched over you. They guarded you. You'll never know how many times your life was spared until you came to Jesus Christ. You'll never know that until you get to heaven. How many times the Holy Spirit came in or angels came in just to minister to you and protect your bacon until you made the right decision. So when you accept Jesus Christ as Savior, I believe Holy Spirit comes in too. On the day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit was activated. He was activated in that upper room. He was activated. Activated in hearts and lives, as we've already talked about, 120 to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. How do I know that's true? Because when they left the upper room, they started to preach. And God used the most likely of the 12 disciples. He used Peter. Peter that weeks before couldn't say he knew the Galilean to a 12-year-old girl. He took the guy that his mouth moved before his brain was engaged. Remember the centurion when Peter tried to chop off his head and missed and cut off his ear? I'm speculating. Peter. One of the great words in that portion of scripture is, the 11 stood with him in solidarity. That's pretty special, Mom. That's pretty special because they weren't doing that a few weeks before. They were running and hiding. They had locked doors. They weren't talking to each other. They kind of spread out in case somebody found one, they wouldn't find the other. But on that day, when Peter, of all people, stood up, then his pre-Pentecostal message in this chapter, verses 14, 15, and 16, he talked about the field of blood where Judas committed suicide and his guts and intestines spilled all over the field. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Not a great message on a Sunday morning. Intestines and blood and guts. That was his pre-Pentecostal message. But on the day of Pentecost, he stood there with solidarity, and he spoke the word of God with a fire that came from heaven. A fire that came. What happened? He walked with Jesus, the greatest Bible teacher in the universe. He heard him. He watched him. He do miracles. He sat with them. You know, they ate together. They walked together. And he was still a liar. He was still a cheat. He didn't have a backbone. He spends 24 hours or 10 days, 240 hours in the upper room, and his life has changed. I'm not taking a shot at Jesus this morning, but I want to lift up Jesus and the Holy Spirit. That 10 days in the upper room did something that the 3 years he walked with Jesus didn't do. It's not that Jesus wasn't powerful, not that Jesus didn't care. Peter didn't get it. He just didn't get it. He didn't get it. But when Holy Spirit got a hold of his ears, when Holy Spirit got a hold of his heart, something happened in there. On that day of Pentecost, he thundered the word of God till people were crying, what shall we do? What shall we do? What shall we do? You know that's the Holy Spirit when that happens. I say thank the Lord for it, church. Thank God. You know, they were radically changed, empowered to be a witness, equipped and enabled to be. And I say thank God. Here's the proof. Acts chapter 2, right? Peter and stood on that 11. They stood together. Acts chapter 3, the next day they went to the temple. It was different this time. How many times do you think they walked by the man that couldn't walk? How many times do you think? This wasn't their first gig going to the temple. They went to the temple sometimes 2 or 3 times a day. How many times do you think that man was sitting there, lying there, whatever he was doing, begging. But on this day, there was something different. Why? Because they had just finished their time in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit lived in them, and now the Holy Spirit had baptized them, and now the fruits and the gifts were in operation. The fruits and the gifts were in operation. And this time when they go by, you know, every evangelist loves that Peter's line, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I you in the name of Jesus Christ. Get up and walk. Wow. What happened? Now the gifts were beginning to flow through his life. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was activated. Church, just read the 2 chapters from 2 to 3. 1, 2, and 3. Something happened in their lives that hadn't happened before. And now, Holy Spirit, they had eyes to see. Eyes to see. They had walked by that man so many times before and did absolutely nothing. But on this occasion, the difference the Holy Spirit can make in our hearts and our lives, church. I just want to remind you today that we can't be dependent of the Holy Spirit. We can't produce eternal results. Living to please people will never transform lives. Learned that a long time ago. On your own, we can only produce and reproduce what's humanly possible. When we understand this principle, there'll be no jealousy, no competition, no insecurity, and no need for self-promotion. When you understand what you can't do and who you are in Jesus Christ. It's not about competition. It's not the Pentecostals against. It's not about this denomination or this. It's not about that church. It's about all of us together working for the kingdom of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. I say thank the Lord. I think you're with me this morning. I want you to get it in your heart. If all we have are good works, we're going to love this one. If all we have are good works, we're nothing more than a forerunner of the Antichrist. For the first 3.5 years, he will be such a good man. Don't know where you stand on pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, pan-trib. I'm a pre-tribber. If you want to go through it, God bless you. I'll leave the keys to the house in the car. Knock yourself out. Right? Everything's paid. Relax. For the first 3.5 years, the Antichrist will be everybody's friend. He will cry, peace, peace, peace. He'll be friend with Israel. He'll be friend and friend and friend. And then at that 3.5 year mark, in Daniel 70 weeks, he will turn and show his true colors. But it'll be good work after 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 good. And how else does he rise up to be a world leader? Nation after nation begin to flick. He's a good guy, good man. Man, he's our hero. He's saving our bacon. Wow, glory to God. I don't mess with the Antichrist because I'll never meet him. I'm sticking with, you know, that I'm raptured before all that mess. So I don't worry about the Antichrist. I don't worry about the mark of the beast. It's not the mark of the beast. And it's not just the mark that I concern about people. It's the attitude that's behind it. It's not just the mark. It's you've already decided who you're not going to live for. I say, Father, would you help us? Don't play that game. Don't get down that theology end where you get lost in it, you know. If you're going to read the book of Revelation, read the book of Daniel. Never read one without the other. Daniel and Revelation, those two are married together. It will help you try to understand it. But I want you to know, I don't want to be preparing for the Antichrist. Spirit baptism is not simply so you can speak in tongues. You believe that? Come on, church. Some of the meanest people in our church speak in tongues. They're not here this morning. You're laughing, but it's nervous. As an evangelist, I can say things like this because I'm getting on the ferry Monday morning. So. Thank you. My baby boomer generation. We saw the power of God. Friday night youth group was 150. Same preachers, same camp, same services, same altar calls. We saw the power of God. Sunday mornings, a rather large man would stand up and give a thus saith the Lord. And then he'd give an interpretation. I was about 12, and I'd look at this large man and go, wow, when I get bigger, when I get older, I want to be just like you. I want to be able to thunder the word of God. He had two sons. We began to hang out. In the Price household, Sunday afternoons were a day of rest. Like I couldn't do a thing Sunday, so I never enjoyed Sundays as a kid. I couldn't watch TV. I couldn't ride my bike. I couldn't go with my friends. That was the Price household. So Sundays, I got to tell you, was never welcomed. Went to church Sunday morning. You know, Dad always made room for Swiss Chalet. And we stopped at Becker's. I don't know if you remember Becker's on the way home Sunday night. And he would get pickled pig's feet. It gets worse. Sour cream. And Charlotte Vange and I would share a box of Bugles. That was our Sunday night treat. And I watched this man thunder the word of God, but then I started going to his home Sunday afternoons, hanging out with Herbie and Larry. I watched one day where he kicked Herbie so hard that he broke his foot on his rear end. I was back another time a few weeks later, and I watched him hit his wife. Ooh. And then I was in the kitchen by mistake one day, and I saw that he had a padlock on the fridge. And my little 12-year-old heart went, ooh. So the next time he stood up on a Sunday morning and said, thus saith the Lord, I also went, ooh. There's a whole generation of my baby boomers that got so turned off because all we had were the gifts but not the fruit. It's like eating chicken this morning, church. Eat the meat, leave the bones. But from my experience, by the hundreds, my generation walked away from church. Oh, they heard the gifts, the utterance gifts. They heard the three. But we didn't see a whole lot of love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering. We didn't see a lot of that stuff. Because of that, today, a lot of them are away and bitter and have never stuck their face back in the door of the church. I don't agree with it. I'm just telling you my reality. I'm just saying if we're going to do what God wants us to do and be what he wants us to be, the infilling is great, but we need to walk in the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. If all you have are the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I don't want you to travel with me. I don't want you to travel. You're dangerous. And here's why. Have you ever been in a rowboat with one oar? Okay, it's not a hard question. You call that ministry? You call that ministry? And around we go, and around we go, and around we go, and around we go. You call that ministry? So if you're going to live for Jesus Christ and cut straight, gifts, fruits. If someone is going to follow you to Jesus, are they going to find him or get discouraged and go home? Like, I don't like following someone. I'd rather GPS it. I don't like asking for directions to locals because they usually mention their grandmother's house. I don't know your grandma. I appreciate that she has a picket fence and there's a cat that sits in the window at the front. That doesn't help me get to your home. If I'm going to live for Jesus Christ and people are going to follow me, I'd like them to find Jesus and not get discouraged because of my life and my witness. That helps when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of my miserable body and my miserable mouth and my eyes and my ears and my feet and just steps in and goes, you know what, we can do this. And I say, thank God. We need the energy, we need the power, we need the presence, we need the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Let me wrap it up in the next 4.5 minutes. We can't do it without Holy Spirit. We can't do it. We can't do it. We can't do it. I appreciate the fact that you speak in tongues. But the fact that you speak in tongues, you're no better than anybody else. Let me say it again. Let me say it loud. You're no better than anybody else because you speak in tongues. You know who should be better? You. You should be better. You should be better. Instead of looking down our nose, we be better in the Lord Jesus Christ. There should be a character transformation like happened in Peter's life, you know, to be what God wants us to be. And that's the question. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, give us empowered speech, an unknown language, and also our native tongue to improve what God wants to do in our hearts and our lives and saturate us. Power to be a witness with purpose. Hallelujah. A purpose being the purpose at the right place at the right time. How many are married? You're always right, but your timing's terrible. God wants to give you a word of the right word at the right season. Come on, you can say the right thing, but if you say it at the wrong time, as you're saying it, you know you best be quiet. You better just take those words and put them back in your mouth, right? Because it's not being received whatsoever. You're smiling, I know you understand. So here's the deal in closing. Here's where we show off our witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Where? In Jerusalem, right? Verse 8. It starts at home. Nobody travels with me unless they're involved in the church. Why would I take someone all the way over to Cuba when you're not, I can't get a voucher for you here in your assembly or anywhere else? You've got to be involved in your Jerusalem. You've got to be involved in your Jerusalem, your place where you live, your family. I always look for references where the family writes it because I know they're legit. Because your sister can be mean if she wants to be. I think that's important. If you're going to live for God, you need to start living for God in Jerusalem. I can't put you on a bus in Cuba and send you home. It's an island. I'm just saying we got to step into our Jerusalem and just be what God wants us to be. Your Judea, your workplace, your school, your neighborhood, your shop. It's easy to be a witness here Sunday morning. It's easy to hide behind walls here and love Jesus Christ. And we do need these times together. But the ministry starts when we walk out that door. The real ministry starts. The real witness starts when we walk out that door. You know, and just to share the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in proper ways and proper tones. And I say, thank God. Your Samaria. This one's the tough one, church, the Samaria. You remember Samaria, right? When Jesus says to them, you guys go ahead, get something to eat. I must go to Samaria. There wasn't a Jew in the world that ever said that. I must go to Samaria. I just got to go to Samaria. They were known as dogs. They were known as dogs. They were called half-breeds. They were called unclean. They were called all that. And he wasn't going to preach a big sermon. He didn't have a stadium or a coliseum. There was one woman at the well at noon. And she was there at noon, the hottest part of the day, because the other women would come later, and she didn't want to see them. Because she had a bit of a reputation. She had a bit of past. She had a bit of past. She had a whole lot of stuff going on. A whole lot of stuff messed up. So Jesus takes time for one woman, a Samaritan woman. And he bypasses all their prejudices, the color of their skin, their background, where they work, where they live. He's not interested in all that stuff. And we as the church of God cannot have prejudices in our heart against some other nation or some other people, because our whole country is made up of, unless you're indigenous or First Nations, we all came. My grandpa came from Ireland for the same reasons your parents came. They came for freedom of work. My father was a Welshman. His parents came because of freedom in Canada. Church, let's not blow it now. Let's welcome everybody to the kingdom of God. It's okay to have a clique. It's okay to have four, but there's four no more. You always got to make room for one more. And so it's not about us. The church doesn't exist for the Christians. The church doesn't exist for its membership. Sometimes we call it his church, but our fingerprints are all over the church. We call it his, but when I look at the church, all I see is human fingerprints. We exist for the non-Christian. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save those who were lost. Lost. We exist for the lost. We exist for those people who are still hung over from last night. They drank out of the bottle too long, or had a needle stuck in their arm, or blown something up their nose, or just don't feel worthy to ever walk through the doors. You and I have both had friends that say, well, if I ever went to your church, the roof would fall in. That's the attitude. That's the attitude that's out there. We need to understand that our Samaria is part of the Great Commission. To the Jews, it was Rome. It was Rome. Well, I don't want to go to Rome. I don't want to go to Rome. That's the power. We're done. It's over. And so to them, it was like, we're not going to play that game. I just want you to know, Holy Spirit will empower you to love people beyond our prejudices. Beyond our own little sick culture, sometimes it's the church and nobody else. We don't exist for the church. We exist for the non-churched. We exist for the non-Christian. They need Jesus. He's coming back. His hand is on the doorknob of eternity. He's looking to his Father saying, can I go get my bride? It's not normal for a bride and a bridegroom to wait this long. Like, I'm away from my lady for 8-9 months a year if you add up all the time. When I get off the plane in Pearson, don't be in my way. Like, I love you, but I'll hurt you. Like, I'm going home. The kids have grown. They're married. They got their own families. The dog died. I don't pastor anymore. There's only one reason why I go home, and that's to see my lady. Why does Jesus wait? Because your son's not saved. Because your neighbor's not saved. Because your grandbaby is messed up right now, making poor decisions. That's the only reason why we're still blowing smoke here, blowing his air, walking on his planet, is because people need Jesus Christ. You know, thank you for that smattering of applause. Thank you. You know why God uses me? Please don't answer out loud. I have few feelings left. I do have some. Because my incredible charm and wit and, yeah, thank you. You know why God uses me? Because people need Jesus. That's all. You know why Jesus allows me to go to Cuba, India, Russia? Because people need Jesus Christ. That's all. I wonder how many people God spoke to about what I do today, but they said no. Why would I want to leave home? I like my bed. I like my house. I like my freedoms. I like going down the street and picking up some food. I like. You know, God spoke to me 25 years ago before I ever chose to leave pastor to do this. So when baby girl went off to Appletsford, all my kids were educated at Summit. Something specific. In Appletsford. Baby girl went off. I said to Trish, I said, now it's time. I'm walking away from pastoring, and we're going to travel, and we're going to preach the gospel to people that may have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. To the uttermost parts of the world. To the uttermost parts of the world. So let's just wrap it up. And I'm only going to close four more times, which is one less than Pastor Ralph. Hallelujah. Somewhere over the years, church, we've settled for language and lost the infilling, energizing fullness of Holy Spirit. We've lost our authority. I think a lot of Christians have their spiritual tubes tied. Or they had a spiritual vasectomy. And they're not reproducing. We're not reproducing. We're not reproducing. We're not. How old was Abraham? Zechariah. We heard your prayer. Which one? Oh, that one. Yeah. Church, we need to reproduce our faith in this generation. We need to reproduce Jesus in other people's hearts and lives. Straight up. Straight up. That's what God wants us to do. We need to once again become what we professed, or we lose our credibility. I don't mean to come across harsh. That's not my heart. But I've lived long enough to see the real deal. Been in Honduras in the maximum security, 18th Street on one side, MS 13 on the other side. Had chapel where the presence of God showed up so strong that inmates started hitting the floor by the presence of God. The guards came in with their rifles drawn. My translator say, back off, back off. It's not a riot, it's not a fight. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. If you didn't know Jesus that day in that prison, their whole worship was like war cries. If you didn't know Jesus, you would have wet your pants. It was that intense. It was like a war cry. I don't know how many inmates that day gave their life to Jesus Christ. We had good church in prison. I'm in an abandoned building in Ukraine, going back there again in April. An abandoned building in Ukraine, and the worship team starts playing their guitars. I'm like, it's dark, it's an abandoned building. And we're standing there for 5-10 minutes, and I hear movement. I hear movement through the darkness of the warehouse. And one by one, two by three, the homeless start coming until we had 60, 70. We had church that day. We brought little cellophane bags. They were so hungry, church, they ate through the plastic. They ate through the plastic to get to the banana. But we had church that day. Prayed with everybody, loved on them. In fact, the presence of God was so strong that when we got back in the van, nobody talked for at least a half an hour, because you didn't want to interrupt what we just saw. Been in Paraguay. Dropped me off at an AIDS orphanage. These kids aren't going to get adopted. And I broke my heart. Loved on them, prayed for them, encouraged them, prayed with the leadership, led them to the Lord. I'm in Argentina with Carlos Anacondia. Didn't know who he was. He's the Billy Graham of Argentina. I'm with Claudio Friedson. I don't know who he is either. The presence of God was so strong. They give an altar call. 1,000 people walk forward to give their life to Jesus Christ. 1,000 people out of the 5,000 in Santa Fe. Carlos Anacondia looks over the crowd and says, those who have come, you've come to receive Jesus? He said, yes, see. Then you're gonna denounce every form of witchcraft and voodoo, and then he named off some local stuff. Then he says, upon that confession that you're going to receive Jesus, I command every form of witchcraft to be broken over your life in Jesus' name. Well, you know what happened? Now I knew why his altar workers looked like WWE wrestlers. Seriously. All hell broke loose. I should say all heaven broke loose. They're slithering, they're foaming, they're manifesting, and these men are picking them up and taking them to this big tent at the back where 500 prayer warriors have fasted for 6 weeks and are now ready to go into action. His assistant grabs me by the arm and says, the pastor wants you in the tent. He wasn't really asking, because he already had me by the arm and we were moving. Being the spiritual giant that I am, this was like going through my mind when I hit the tent. I hope these demons understand English. I left the tent at 1:20 the next morning, and there were six grandmothers still there praying for a 15-year-old girl that was a prostitute because her mother could no longer provide because she had AIDS. So she was the family income. She had opened her body to every kind of, I'll leave it alone. Those grandmas should have been in bed by 9 o'clock, but there they were at 1:20 in the morning, still calling on God for this 15-year-old girl. And when I walked out to the empty Colosseum, I heard the whisper. I heard the whisper of the Holy Spirit saying, son, this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about, to see people set free by the power of Jesus Christ. I could go on and on. I'm going to stop there. I'm just saying, church, it's time to power up today. It's time to power up in the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, in faith, not by faith. That's Old Testament. In faith, that's New Testament. In the Holy Spirit. Would you stand with me? Worship team, do you have a little something left? Just play something you played before, a little slap the devil music. Just give me half volume for a minute. Okay, I fibbed. I took more than 4.5 minutes. My apologies. Did I mention I'm catching the ferry tomorrow morning? If you don't know Jesus Christ today as your personal Savior and Lord, can I make a recommendation that you know him, who is life eternal? He is life eternal. It's the best business decision you'll ever make, is to give your life to Jesus Christ. My regret, I was 5 when I was saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I walked away from God at 16 when my father was killed coming home from church. It took me a while to get my act together, but the Holy Spirit never gave up on me, never left me. He was greater than my 26er. My buddies didn't like to drink with me because I still talked about Jesus. He was greater than my cheap bladder acid from Rochdale College. He was just always there for me. A friend like no other. Loved on me. Didn't want to serve him. But during the night, I'd sleep on the floor because the bed kept moving. Oh, you remember those nights. So I just started on the floor. My hands would rise in the darkness to the one I didn't want to live for. And guess who showed up? See, I needed a dad. I needed a father. And he came in a drunken stupor on the floor. And he'd love on me for a few minutes. And I'd put my hands down. It was enough. It was enough to know that he never left me nor forsake me. Holy Spirit, if you get to know him, you'll want everything he has. So, Dad, thank you for our time together this morning. We're going to open up these altars for a while. And we're just going to see what you want to do. We've had worship. We've had word. And now we need witness. And we pray the three together, this triune of word, worship, and witness, would touch people's hearts and lives. Lord of the harvest, do what you want to do today. If there's someone here that needs salvation, we offer salvation. If there's someone here that needs deliverance, fighting against habitual stuff, God offers deliverance. More Holy Spirit, language, gifts, fruits. Father, we want the whole deal. We need conviction. We need comfort. Everything you have is within us if we know Jesus Christ. We don't have to reach heaven today. Holy Spirit lives inside of us. Jesus lives inside of us. Do a work in our hearts today. Set us free to be. Well, that was the end of the sentence, church. Set us free today to be. To be. To be. To be. I pray for that. Thank you, sir, for your kindness on a busy Sunday morning. Thank you for your presence. Hallelujah. Church, these altars are